Okay.
Okay, Maxie.
Yeah. Again, I think you'd be hard pressed to find evidence of any station doubling its audience when it has not been infused with its cume across the 24/7 schedule, without a significant influx in cash for marketing and promotion, or a format change where it becomes a brand new station, format-wise. I would challenge Jim to find that. I think it is highly unlikely, especially with patch program scheduling, without resources to develop new national morning programming or even highly produced local programming, that these stations at this moment are going to be able to double cume in a day part, let alone across the entire schedule. So I'll leave that at that. You guys can go with that wherever you want to take it. But I've been programming for nearly 25 years in the system. I've never seen any station double its audience in 1 year. I've just never seen that happen. And so good luck. And I'll do everything I can to support the initiative if it passes, but I've just never seen that. The last thing I'll say is there's not a lot of variance in Jim and I when it comes to wanting to put a high-level goal in place. I think if we focus on a day part versus the entire cume of the station, I would be completely in accord with Jim and may even go with doubling a day part if I could say that I might go with a doubling if we set a specific day part, even though I think that's highly unusual as well. Maybe 50% to 100% range might be more reasonable for a day part, say morning drive. But again, what's missing in this conversation is allocation of resources, human and financial, to assist with this. It's one thing to implement best practices in programming. It's a whole other thing to wish upon a star and hope that it happens. I don't have any evidence of doubling of cume. And I would love for Jim to prove that that's possible, or that he has evidence of that outside of what I suggested. Either a new station has been bought, deeply infused with marketing, capital, or switch formats.
Jim to the back.
Okay, Jim.
Well, actually, I do have evidence of a doubling of cume and with a Pacifica station, and that's WBI Radio in the early 90s. Now, again, we have a different situation. It's not the same as now. It was a crisis, the Gulf War. Now, everybody knows that generally in the past, before the onslaught of cable news and other forms of information, especially the internet, a Pacifica station would always, when a national or international crisis occurred, would have an expansion of the cume based on the fact that people would say, oh, let's go hear what these guys have to say, which is what happened after the Gulf War. During the Gulf War. So the cume went up to almost 500,000 during the Gulf, at the time of the Gulf War. Then it came back down to 200,000. Now, we're in a crisis right now in the United States, and I personally think that there are creative ways that we do not use or exercise to further I hate to use the word exploit it, because it's an awful experience that these planes through. People down in Washington certainly thought far more recently than a lot of us did, but these are things that allow us opportunities all the time to outwardly reach to our audiences in each market that we never exploit. That's number one. Number two, the question of reinforcing the morning show slots, that's one of the reasons why I went up to the universities in the past few years to get people to try to persuade them to come in and help in the morning shows. I didn't want them to come in and be interns in the wider pool of the station. I wanted them to help in the morning and afternoon drives for the shows, but morning drive in particular.
And when the strip programming strategy was introduced in the early 90s, which had, you know, frankly, we're still reacting to all that because of the responses to some of the ideas that you're putting forth, Maxie, one of the things that happened was all the news resources, all the limited resources in the stations in New York, for example, were pacing to the morning show slot. So the morning show back then had the news department working in it, although we don't have a news department now. So, again, that reinforces the argument that there's no resources. But one can, with operating in the situation we're in now, do a lot of improvisation that, frankly, I don't think we are doing enough of to reinforce the slots that need to be reinforced to make them better. And I don't know what goes on at the other stations, but I have a feeling that the same kind of problem exists to some extent. So I just think that, you know, it's not unreasonable to try to end this ship. All right, I'll stop right there with the noise.
This is
okay,
Grace.
Thank you.
Back. Grace?
Yes, Grace.
Okay. You know, rather than beating this motion to death, I'd like to suggest that where it says double, we substitute with the words significantly increase. So, for instance, in the beginning it says, and whereas the current cumes of the station need to be doubled, I would say need to be significantly increased, and all efforts made to realize this goal, since the percentage of people contributing will only go up if the cume is significantly increased. In other words, I'm substituting the word doubled was significantly increased. So I'd like to, wherever it is in this motion, so I'd like to place that as an amendment.
Okay. Is there any objection to that amendment?
Catherine, if I might. I think that's a bit problematic as well. The term significant is a bit subjective. I think we need a direct target amount, say something in the, you know, if you want to say 10% or 8%. If you just say significantly, I think it creates more problems than it solves. So we can actually...
Okay. Benita? Benita?
Yeah. I agree with Eric and with Maxie. I mean, Maxie laid out what he thinks or his experience demonstrates is feasible, the 10%. So why don't we just go with 10%, and if experience during this next year shows that we can do that, maybe we'll have a basis for setting a higher goal. But why are you going to set a goal that has a basis upon which to base it on?
This is great.
I would say 10%, which is what I thought I heard Eric say.
That's what he said. Okay, Grace?
Yes. I think that 10% is not high enough. I'd like to give a few examples. They're anecdotal, but nonetheless, I think significant. I'll give you one example of an immediate increase in our audience. One evening, this was told to me by our membership director at KPFK. One evening, we had problem with our transmitter on Mount Wilson because of weather or whatever. And it was quite late, 11 or 12 o'clock at night. It was during a fun drive, and we were completely off the air for about an hour. Somebody at the station management got Gary Knoll, who was able to transmit into our signal from Florida or something. Went on the air without any prior notice. We were dead air at 11 o'clock at night and started pitching. And all of a sudden, an audience came alive. People listened late at night. He brought in a lot of money. without being announced or advertised. We also have that. That was one instance of that happening. Another instance, which happens at KPFK constantly, is that we have our normal audience, which is a mix of politics with a little bit of public affairs and a small amount of music. And during fund drives, we preempt our regular programming, which has a very fairly low listenership, with all kinds of different programming that has much higher appeal, and the audience shifts. Now, many, many, many people have told me and others, our traditional audience, that they turn the station off during the preempted fund drive shows. So what happens is, as soon as the preemptions start, a totally new audience occurs, and we raise a lot of money with that different and distinct audience. So I do not think that it's impossible to raise our listenership because it's so very low. I totally agree with an NPR station to double the listenership is an unrealistic goal in the extreme. And a 10% increase is even difficult. But with Pacifica stations where our listenership is so low to begin with, I don't think doubling is that out of reach. I think that 10% is way too low a goal for us, especially KPFK, where the situation at KPFK, as we know from our finance committee, is that we are per day fund drive statistics have been declining in the last 2 years, so that we're making less money per fund drive day, which is forcing us to increase our fund drive days. We have a little bit of a shortfall in our budget currently because our last fund drive underperformed. It is really crucial that we improve our listenership. It's absolutely unacceptable that our listenership is as low as it is in a 23 million signal area with a very strong signal. So I think that 10% is just too low a goal. You're going to have to pick it up more than that.
Okay. Catherine, I'm going to put myself on the stack.
Definitely. After you, can I just respond to Grace for about 10 seconds after you?
Why don't you go ahead now?
No, my problem, Grace, was with the word significantly. I mean, I'm not using 10% as the target amount so much as the word significantly.
Okay. So I would like to respond to this motion from the perspective of reality. And while I understand the desire to have high goals, all of the examples are in some fashion anomalies, and they are based on specific conditions or conditions that no longer exist. And I think part of the problem is that we haven't had an internal strategy for improving the programming or an external strategy for promoting the program. And in the past, a lot of the difficulties I have seen between the boards, the LSBs, the PMBs, is management, is that we offer these motions that are sometimes overreaching and unrealistic. So I actually would go, would support the 10%, because 10% is a start. And then you learn from something to be able to make it more. But to across the board say doubling it or to make it a significant, to me, puts the emphasis on something other than actually building the strategy. So I would prefer something that focuses on the strategy than on the cumes. So that's my comment. But let's vote on, we have two amendments. One amendment is 10%. And the other amendment is significant. So let's, the most recent motion of 10%, let's take a vote on that. And then we'll take a vote on significant. Let's see if I can grab the, what did I do with the roll? Hold on a second. Okay, on 10%. Grace.
No.
Kane.
No.
Benito.
Yes.
Jim.
No.
Anissa.
Pass for a little while. I honestly don't know what we're voting on.
Okay. Let's see. Eric.
Yes.
Yes.
Oh, Anissa said she wasn't clear on what we were voting on. I'm sorry. I probably should have waited till we got clarity there.
Anissa, where do you know the motion we're speaking about? The motion on Cumes. It's the motion on Cumes improvement rating, and it calls for a doubling of the Cumes. And the first motion, you know, that's the rating. The first motion is to call for a 10% increase in Cumes. And the second is to call for a significant increase, using replacing the words with doubling, with either 10% or significant. So that's what we're voting on. Tom, are you back on the call? No, Tom is not voting. Okay, and I am going to say no. Actually, I'm going to say yes. Okay. So we have one. Eric. Sorry.
I'm going to say. I'm going to say yes. Did we get a vote from Anissa?
No, Anissa. You passed.
Okay, Eric will say yes.
Okay, Anissa.
Yes.
Yes?
Yes.
Okay. We have no, 1, 2, 3, and we have yes, 1, 2, 3, 4. So it, the 10% passes.
Excuse me, Catherine. Who was the fourth vote?
Anissa.
Oh, I see. Okay. Got it.
Eric, Anissa, Benito, and myself voted yes. Grace, Ken, and James voted no. Okay. So, so that motion does carry. So we had another motion to make it significant. Does this cancel? I guess this cancels that out. Okay.
Well,
so
Catherine,
yes.
Mm-hmm. I think earlier there was a suggestion about morning and afternoon drive, which a 10% of 500 is only 50 people. So I would offer a motion that in areas that particularly need an increase in Cume, we try to have a significant growth. In other words, one can sort of separate out the fact that, you know, okay, the Cume in New York, by the way, goes down to 50,000 at one point in August. That was quite astounding to watch. But anyway,
I think that the morning show and afternoon drive show is where my personal feeling is the concentration of effort should happen, and 10% ain't going to cut it. So I think it's significant may be a way to sort of, or significantly increase, 10% is a significant increase, or significantly increasing it, and 20 or 30% is significantly increasing it at those particular times. But I don't think it's unreasonable to put forth something like along the lines of, we will try to significantly increase the cumes at particular strategic times of the day, such as morning and afternoon drive, something like that.
Okay. Can you write that down, Jim, for, and send it to
I'll
us
try,
to put it into them?
All right, so
say it again. Try to significantly increase cumes for
we'll
what?
We'll attempt to significantly increase the cumes in particular strategic times of the day, especially morning and afternoon drive. I mean, because,
okay.
Look, you know, if we don't do it, you know, we're
okay,
gonna
it's
go
all
back
right. Let's an afternoon drive. Okay,
yeah.
So that's your motion.
Character to the stack, if I may.
I'm sorry.
Okay, that was a motion. Okay, I just want to go to the stack for a few seconds. Was that Jim who offered that? Was this Jim's motion?
Yeah.
It is Jim's motion. Yes.
Yeah.
Mac Bass to go to the stack as well.
Yeah, we're back to this word significant. And it's vague. I mean, to some people, significant is 10%. I mean, to others, it might be 30%. But it's quite vague. I mean, I would suggest you need a target, a number.
Well, that's why I put double, but anyway, that people didn't agree with. I just feel that, like, if you have it so low, it's really, really low.
Nope.
Okay, what's your suggestion?
Maxi to the stack.
Go on.
Yeah, Maxi.
I really think we're getting beyond policy and getting into operations, as Ken stated at the very beginning of this whole conversation. Let's set a goal. I think the 10% improvement to the overall cume. If you're getting 150,000 listeners now, we're talking about adding 15,000 listeners. That's not insignificant in a one-year period. Not astounding, but it's a reasonable expectation given the resource constraints that we have. We, from a management, from a programming standpoint, are going to begin to execute best practices in programming. That's why I was hired. It's one of the things that I plan to do and have been articulating everywhere I've gone on my tour of the stations. So we are going to address morning drive, evening drive. I don't think we need to articulate anything from a policy standpoint to specific day parts. What we need to do is just articulate that we need to see improvement in audience across the board and let the stations and their operations define how best to do that based on their analysis of opportunity in the market, et cetera. I don't want to, you know, overemphasize the need to yield to experience here, but I just think that we need to understand that things are going to be put in place at the station level to move the needle. Everybody knows we've got to increase audience. Nobody wants to stay where they are. We know that audience drives membership, drives revenue. That's how it works. So consistent with what Ken said at the very beginning, let's not wade into the operational areas. Let's be at policy. I'm agreeing with the notion that the terminology significant is too vague. Let's get a number. We've got 10%. And let's be done with this and move on to the next point, is my argument. Because again, I just think we're wading into waters that are not necessary, at this time. If ever.
All right, Jim to the stack.
Jim Grace to the stack.
And who was that?
It was Ken, right?
Or was it Jim?
who was that gentleman who spoke up first and then Grace?
Jim.
Jim, go ahead.
Yeah, I agree, Maxie, about operational and policy blending that can be confusing. But let's remember that practically everybody on the phone here has been involved in the situation for quite a long time. And there has never been, in my recollection, an attention to these kind of issues, period, which is why we're bringing them up. And for me to argue it needs to be operational or that the policy blending into operational, well, the fact is that we've had examples of many people who have been in an operational mode to implement these things for decades, and they still have been a problem. So
fire them,
I don't
Jim. Fire them.
So I don't bring these things up out of some sort of vacuum. I also bring these things up based on my experience, which is based not only on doing programming a long time ago at the station, but doing programming in the alternative media on and off for the past 28 years. So I'm not coming at it from the point of view of having no knowledge about it. I am coming from the point of view of having no patience for this to continue as a problem anymore. And unfortunately, it does have to spill out into operational situations because there hasn't been any attention to that anywhere in the system. People have been battering themselves over other issues to the extent that these issues that we're now dealing with, which are frankly the most sensitive issues that affect programmers and producers and everybody else, this is when they go absolutely nuts into jihad mode. This unfortunately has to now be dealt with. So if I spill over into operational issues, it's because they have not been paid attention to for 25 years in any significant way.
Jim, I've never disrespected your experience, and if I said something that made you feel like I was, I apologize. That's not what I was trying to do. What I was simply saying...
I understand that, Desi.
Okay, good. I was, that was not my intent, so I apologize if that's what I get.
No.
Jim and I actually love each other. We love to have these debates.
may I be recognized? Yeah, thank you,
yes,
Catherine. Okay, I think we voted on this, and we should just move on. Jim, if you want to make that in a different motion, a different meeting, I think that would be appropriate. But let's see. At least now we are attempting to set policy for the foundation that puts attention on improving listenership with a very modest goal, in my opinion, but yet it is a goal for improvement. Let's revisit it in a few months. So
okay.
Why don't we, I'd like to just move the agenda.
Okay. Is there any objection to voting on this motion with the 10% added, 10% increase, replacing the double? Okay. Are there any objections to this motion as amended by that 10%?
I'm sorry. I have a request for information. Catherine, what was that not what we just voted on?
No, that was a motion for an amendment. Now we have to vote on the main motion.
Oh, I see. Okay.
Yes. Is there any objection to this motion as amended to say 10% increase? Okay, no objection. This motion passed as amended without objection. Okay, the next motion that we have here is collaboration with Journalism Broadcast School. Given the time, is there a preference for which motion to deal with? Or to bring it in? You don't have to do them in the exact order.
Catherine, I can't hear you.
Yes. Oh, sorry. I'm saying So the next motion on the agenda is the collaboration motion. I was asking if there is a suggestion for which motion to deal with next. Is there a preference?
It's Eric to the stack.
Yes, Eric.
Catherine, I would prefer it if we, yes, deal with that next.
Okay. All right. Excellent. So let's see. Jim, do you have that one available?
Yeah, I think we actually passed this, but anyway.
Did we?
This is, I think so, yes, I do. I think the added on to this was Maxi, which I don't think we disagreed with. This will be developed to further be expanded starting in the fall 2019 academic year, which I don't think we had a disagreement about. Any local
right.
union issues are to be resolved in the use of interns in the overall scope of program decision. So I think we passed this a couple of meetings ago, but, you know, we can re-talk about it if you want. I mean, the whole point was the issue of doing it so quickly. Yeah. I thought we passed this, frankly.
If we passed it, then let's find find that in the minutes, and so I can take it to the PMB. Okay.
Right.
So we don't have to deal with that. The next one on the agenda is the podcasting policy.
The which?
Podcasting. Did we pass
it? Oh, yeah, absolutely. Very important. Let me find out where the hell that is. Let's see. Rewrite resolution.
Benito to the stack.
Yes, Benito.
Yeah, Catherine, again, you can't hardly be heard, but my request from earlier, I just said I'd take the opportunity to repeat it, is I don't know where these motions are. I don't have a copy of them. So if somebody could send the whole group.
Yeah, it was sent out in the last, for the last two meetings, they've been sent out multiple times. I'm not able to get onto the internet, so I'll ask Jim if he can send it out, each one as we cover it.
Yeah, these have been sent out to you, like, for weeks.
Yeah, Benito was out because he was sick, so he may not have seen it. So if it's possible to if anybody can resend it, that would be great. I sent out a PDF not too long ago, and then I believe last meeting Jim sent corrections on it.
All right, I'm trying to find the podcasting one. Let's see.
Okay. I have it. Is this one of the ones that you changed, or should I just read what I have?
I don't think we really changed that one. Yeah, you could read what you
got.
Podcasting.
Okay, can you hear me? Podcasting policy. Yes. Whereas the Pacifica Foundation has been many years behind the sudden development of podcasting as a new form of audio production, comma, and whereas Pacifica has hidden strengths in entering this field, and all efforts will be made to develop creative and innovative ways to rebrand the network through this form of audio delivery, be it resolved that the foundation will implement a policy of developing podcasting as a separate form of content delivery as a policy for all the stations in the network. This will be developed and begun to be implemented by March 2019. The policy of podcasting will apply to all current shows that are currently on the analog. They will be required as part of each individual show as they go forward, as well as all current future shows that are broadcast on analog. All shows will be evaluated as to their compliance with this policy. A separate and independent podcasting channel will be developed for new content only that will be separate and distinct from the current analog schedule. It will be developed as a new content and given robust support. At every local station, alliances will be made with ongoing podcast companies and efforts to use this form for audio delivery. All stations and their management will be required to report on a quarterly basis as to their progress in implementing this progress in implementation in this policy. It will be considered as part of the management evaluation of all managerial staff as to their implementation of the podcasting policy. All reports as to progress shall be open and transparent for the listening audience to see. And that ends the motion. So,
Ken, to the
staff.
Ken?
Yeah. Yes. I'm going to put myself on the stack. Anyone else on the stack?
Yeah, Jim on the stack.
And Jim. Okay. Ken?
Well, I first wanted to know if this is being funded by George Soros or the Koch brothers. You're talking about an operation here that's in for $10,000 to $20,000 to $30,000 to $40,000 to $50,000. The material, the broadcasters are doing call-ins or interviewing people. They're doing what they're doing. The production of a podcast is a question of editing, recording, and distribution, and connection with getting on different venues. And there's probably a lot of money involved in setting up those relationships to get on those different channels or venues where it's being distributed. And also, you're having this motion wants everybody to jump in the pool by March, you know, before the end of March. Everybody, get up, stand around the pool, jump in. It would be much, much, much better to do this as a pilot program at just one station, or maybe two, and see what we are currently producing as podcasts, because the assumption is we aren't, but in fact we are. See what we're producing, then formalize it, then set up a liaison to associate with distribution to other venues, other platforms. And then when we get it all down and it's working and we know what we can do with it and how, whether or not we can, it's a possibility that with podcasts, we could even underwrite them because it's not going to be on our regular audio broadcast, or there might be other factors involved. So, therefore, I think it should be piloted. It's got to go through legal. There's copyright issues, especially on music shows. You said all shows. And it's not I'm not familiar. I listen to a lot of podcasts, but I don't listen to chit-chat podcasts where people are interviewed. I mostly listen to debates and stuff, or produced ones. So we are broadcasting certain podcasts from certain vendors. So I think a survey has got to be done about what currently exists, and then a program, a plan written out. When I mean program, I don't mean radio program. A plan, a project written out to pilot this at one or two stations with all aspects from A to Z, from production, editing, in copywriting or trademarking, implementing, inserting advertisements, or at least station identification or source or branding, et cetera, and so forth, and then work that all out on a pilot. And then if it's working, and do it at the least expense and the least interference with current operations. And if it works in a pilot, then we can crank it up and crank it up and crank it up. But to have everybody stand around and jump in the pool, that's great if you got $20,000 to $30,000 to hire a bunch of staff to take it on. That's my viewpoint. So I would change all this to say, A, survey what we are doing, B, write a project to implement stronger presence in the podcast arena and other up-and-coming or burgeoning venues, because podcast I don't know what's around the corner. There could be, you know, mental telepathy programming or something. Technology changes every 5 days or 5 years, you know, whatever. So podcast is just one that's going on, but we don't know what's next. But, you know, you write a project and we go through this, and I'm mostly concerned about the distribution and ownership. And some of this is in the new handbook, but we don't have any contracts with these people. People are doing podcasts now with content that they've created, and they're on a separate donation line with kind of diverting donations that they get for support on when they distribute the material as podcasts elsewhere. And I don't know what's happening at all the stations at KPFK. But this is a whole thing, the whole legal aspect, HR aspect, distribution aspect, funding, underwriting, or announcements, and all kinds of things. And FCC, I don't know if there's FCC regulations. I don't know what the story is with the copyright. But we can't just all dive in the pool. And you can't demand that everybody drop what they're doing and dive in the pool and say, hey, I know you got this, that, and the other thing to do, but what are you doing on the podcast? Are you doing the podcast? You got 3 days left. Get that podcast out. You know, that's not going to work. So it should be done in an orderly fashion, not like demanding that it all be done yesterday for everybody.
This is Grace for the stack.
Okay, I'll put you after Jim. I also wanted to comment. I mean, I love the idea of podcasting, but I just wanted to bring out that most of the radio stations have downloading capacity for the programs. It seems to me that there could be something in the technology that would allow programs to be actually podcasts, and whatever that means, and however that's different than a download. But I do think that it requires more technical setup to make it possible. I don't see how it could be possible otherwise. But that's my thoughts. Jim?
All right. We're basically, the pool, the tsunami has already swept by us. It's been sweeping by us in ever-increasing momentum for several years now. We are behind the eight ball, period. Now, the ideas that Ken raises, of course, are logical ways to approach the problem, I agree with. But for us not to take a jump into this, and the reason why I made it clear that, yes, the shows that currently exist can, you know, they can create their podcasts, et cetera, but it's also a way to attract new content. There never is an easy way for somebody to get on the air at any of the stations and flip and flop and try something. Here is a way to allow that. The podcast industry in New York, Maxie knows this because of his relations to MIT. NYC got the most amount of money of any public radio station in the country. I think they were the flagship for experimenting with podcasts. And there are literally bazillions of podcast companies in New York City, as there are in every metro area that we operate in. L.A., San Francisco, I don't know what Houston's like, I don't know what Washington's like, but there's all these things going on. For us not to move into this rapidly, and yes, I'm talking about improvisation. I've been going, and I will be going. Someone has funded me, and I probably will take someone else with us to go to a podcasting conference in New York in about 4 weeks. Because the setup process of a podcast operation is not that different, as Kathy knows or others know who've been in production. Basically, you're setting up a studio to do this, a studio like what we have or should have in New York. So I think that this is a no-brainer as far as I'm concerned. We have to move into this area. We're way behind. And to just simply use it to reinforce shows that, if one goes by the metrics, the Nielsen ratings, the amount of money that come in, et cetera, are not necessarily producing much cachet with an audience, okay, that's one route for some shows. But on the other hand, it allows us to create completely new channels of information, completely new content. And that, I think, is what we need to look for, because we don't know where we're going to come across excellent content. We have to be much more open to that, because who knows if we're not going to have somebody come walking in. And I might add that the person who was responsible for one of the most successful podcasts in the United States, This American Life, he was in the news department at WBAI around the time I started to go in there in the early 90s. And that was Ira Glass. And so, you know, there are people, you know, you never know who's going to come walking in, is what I'm saying. And the fact that we're not doing it, again, it may be operational, but at this point, you know, operational stuff has not been paid attention to, and this is a no-brainer operational thing to do. So I'm going to be pretty stubborn about this one.
Okay, Madam Chair, we have 16 or 17 minutes left.
There's Ken back to the stack somewhere.
Grace?
Yes. Actually, I'd like to hear what Maxie has to say about this, because I think he has a lot more experience with this than we do. And then I'd like to comment after that.
What I will say is I think really Jim is talking two separate items here. With all due respect, I think, you know, I was part of the Public Radio Talent Quest, which allowed the public media industry to be exposed to well over 1,000 potential podcasters and content creators. Out of that, three programs were created. Two of the hosts are still making programming in the public media system. So I think that there's a real valid notion that Pacifica could seek out young, progressive voices across the country and do some kind of podcast challenge. However, I will agree with Ken completely that I think that this, more than probably the doubling of our cum, is so overly ambitious that I don't even begin to see how this could possibly be on our radar in the way that it's articulated by Jim. I will state that I share Ken's concerns across the board in terms of all the things he brought up. And one of the things that I want to caution Jim, and I think Grace to some extent, to try to use perhaps some to refrain from, is feeling like we have to dive into the pool, as Ken would say, on everything that we're behind on. I think low-res prototyping, easing your way into discovering how we can do something uniquely a Pacifica way and do it well, is much more valuable than just sort of a mass production of a concept that we've not tested and don't know if we actually have the skills to produce with the kind of quality necessary to make a difference. So those are my thoughts on it, and I'll stop at that.
All right, Grace, you wanted to say something?
I think I agree with Maxie, and I agree with Ken as well. If anything, this is a possibly expensive project that may bear fruit, depending upon how excellent the podcasts are and how ample the promotion is for them, et cetera, et cetera. But it might flop. If it's done at all, I think the initiative should come from possibly KPFA as a pilot project if they want to do it on their own. Maybe there's some interest at KPFK, but for the stations that are barely able to pay their rent and their central services, I don't think it's wise to invest in a project that may bear fruit, may not. So I think that this should be revisited after some sort of pilot is done, possibly by KPFA or KPFK. So for an example, even though many nonprofits and radio stations in particular get a large amount of income from text to donate, we've been trying that pretty heavily here at KPFK, and it really has not resulted in very much income at all, which it should be bringing in income, but it's only bringing in a very small percentage of our income. So things that work elsewhere don't necessarily work for us for one reason or another. So I think Maxie's right. I think this has to go on the back burner for a while. Even though, and theoretically, Jim, I agree with it, but I don't think it's the right time in practice to do this.
Okay, can do that.
Ken, then Jim and I, Catherine, have a comment as well.
Yeah, okay. So, there, as Maxie was, I didn't understand you, Jim. I had no idea that you were intending to produce new podcasts. That's really ambitious, as Maxie used that word. I thought you were saying we'd take some existing shows, edit them, and try to distribute them on podcast venues, in the shows we're already producing. I'm all for, I would love to have us try to broadcast some existing podcasts that I hear on other stations, like 99% Invisible or, you know, Radio Lab or some other podcast that I'm not familiar with that's doing very well. And a lot of them are being broadcast on internet radio. There's thousands and thousands of this material all over the place. And we could definitely find stuff to broadcast on a regular terrestrial radio and see if it's popular with our audience or to increase our audience. But to start to do more production, no, we can't afford to cover more production, more staff, more soundboard operators, more talent. We just can't. We can't even pay for the heating for the people, the volunteers to sit in the room. We just can't, you know. What we're producing now, we're producing, and it's not paying us back fast enough. So to start to produce more stuff doesn't make sense to me. I don't see it. To distribute what we've got, that's good, on other venues to increase our distribution makes sense. You know, to get on to, I can't even, it's not in my head now, the little podcast engine, to make sure you're on there. We're already on there at radio stations. And we could take some of our radio programs and distribute them as podcasts. You know, it's just putting another name on a half-hour show. It might entail breaking them up into segments and re-editing them. And that's a lot of labor. But I think we to talk about what we already have. I wouldn't want to go into inventing new shows. That's like too much for me. I'm done talking. I'm sorry. Thank you.
Okay, so Kat, I'm going to speak. Was there someone else who wants to speak?
Jim.
Okay.
Yeah, I did.
Or after Jim.
Jim. Oh, and who is it?
Yeah. You know, first of all, there are existing podcast shows out there. That, for example, when I went to the blockchain programming conferences, there are existing shows that are podcasts that have like 50,000 to 70,000 paid members, okay? And these are shows that already exist that can be easily transferred into an analog radio. So that's one category. And that content can easily replace shows that currently don't have more than a couple hundred people listening to them. So you have somebody who actually has a show that's producing on a weekly basis that has 50,000 paid subscribers to it, and then you persuade them to come in. So that's one source of podcasting. Another source of podcasting is, yes, I'm talking about creating content locally in the stations and creating an environment where one can bring in new producers and get them to produce on a podcast channel. That's not a difficult thing to do. And frankly, again, we're behind the eight ball. I mean, I just find this sort of silly to talk about the question of capacity because, you know, I could probably persuade somebody to put in X thousands of dollars to develop a studio for this purpose. Three, in the Pacifica radio stations, historically, and Kathy knows this, there's a certain percentage of producers who like to produce produced radio, not talk radio. They like to make sound movies. They like to make sound tapestries. That's their thing. And there are plenty of people who come through the stations
who have had those kind of skills and who want to do that kind of radio. And so I just don't think, and I know who the, some of these people are, by the way, in New York. So, you know, there are all these opportunities we have. Plus, we don't even know in New York, for example, who all these people are that we can ally with. So to scotch an initiative that is essentially, we're about 5 to 6 or 7 years behind, and it's accelerating all the time, I think is short-sighted. Okay? I really do. And I think to sort of, you know, sort of stop it and park it in the process point where we got to, you know, figure this out, figure that out. It's already been figured out legally, a lot of these things. You know, there's a whole robust look at that. And one of the things that's important with us as a public media outlet is that we have that CSG, we have that ability due to that to have a little more flexibility about music and other kind of things because of the fact that we're part of the CPB, although I'd like to know about that because I think Maxie was going to have a meeting with these guys sometime soon. I'd sort of be curious to see where we're at with all that. But anyway, that's my point about this. It's just really long overdue to start plunging into it. And yes, I'm talking about taking a cannonball dive. All right, and let's see how we start. Rather than do a little baby step, we got to take a cannonball dive.
Thank you, Joe. I also wanted to speak on it. I in principle, absolutely agree with the podcasting, but I feel that there needs to be more plan to the plan. So, for instance, we need technology. If Pacifica had a website that was akin to what YouTube is, it would be very easy to attract progressive media because YouTube is really clamping down on progressive media and not allowing the most radical of voices. And just as you can get moderate to big name people to want to be on Pacifica Airways, I don't think there would be any problem for people getting wanting to be on a Pacifica podcast channel. But the channel would have to actually exist. And I believe that that's where this initiative needs to start with the actual building of the technology and the building of the platform. Because many producers would be more than happy to produce something for a podcast platform. I don't think there would be any difficulty filling it. I think it could potentially be a great resource for fundraising because it doesn't have the limitations of analog radio. So I support it, but I do believe that it needs to be tweaked. I would like to suggest that we, even though we have this long list of motions, I would like to work on this a little bit more, and I would like to work with you on it to make it more realistically you know, in real life, instead of just providing a date, but providing stages and steps on how it might be possible. And even make it an initiative that fundraising could be, as you said, to seek fundraising for this initiative. I think it could be very big, but it needs to be worked out a little bit more. That's my perspective.
Madam Chair, we have 5 minutes. We have 5 minutes left.
5 minutes. Okay, so I would rather not rush it through. So you let me know what you think.
All right, point of information on this. I've also gotten somebody to commit the resources to send a few people from the station to get trained on podcasting. So Union Docs, for example, in New York, has a program where they train people in podcasting. Now, I don't know what the hell that's going to be in terms of what people will learn or not learn, but I have a commitment from somebody to finance, sending a couple of people in there to sort of train the trainers. So this has been, there's been a lot going on this initiative. It just is a question of when we pull the trigger on it.
Well, so my position is that to pull the trigger on it at this moment doesn't mean it can get passed by the PMB and be something that could be worked on. I would prefer that we plump it out in realistic terms so that it's something that could actually be initiated seriously. That's what my request would be, that, you know, let's get together on it this week and bring it back next week.
All right, no problem.
Okay. So we're going to refer this to the next meeting, and Jim and I will work on rewriting it, and we could see if we could make it more doable, in my opinion, and passable, I suppose, in Jim's opinion. So that being the case, we have, what, 3 minutes, Eric? Does anyone else want to comment? No?
Well, I want to thank everybody for joining us tonight.
Yes. So we're done. I'm going to adjourn this meeting, and thank you all for participating.
Thanks, everybody.
Good night.
Okay.
Thank you. Thank you, Catherine.
Thank you. Good night.
Good night.
Thank you. Good night.